I am proud of my blackness, proud of the accomplishments of black people. Think of me as the kind of Negro who comes to the conclusion that he isn't going to beg for anything, that he will be reasonable, but he damned well is tired of being patient. Jackie Robinson.
This is the 21st. I'm Nyla Boodoo, and that was the voice of Jamie Foxx reading the words of Jackie Robinson. It's from a two-part Ken Burns documentary on the baseball legend that premieres tonight on your local public television station. Describing Jackie Robinson as a baseball legend is probably a term Ken Burns and his team would avoid, because I think if you're going to take anything away from this four-hour work, it's that Robinson should be viewed for his place not just in baseball history, but in American history. For Robinson's pioneering work before the Civil Rights Movement began, and that continued long after his baseball career had ended, this documentary really helps establish Robinson as an American icon for those who may not have known before. Adrian Burgos Jr. is a history professor at the University of Illinois, and he served as an advisor for the documentary and joins us in studio now. Hey, Adrian, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, and this is as we remember, this is a week. This is Jackie Robinson Day is coming up in a couple days. So all of the baseball teams will be wearing number 42. Do you think that we've put Jackie Robinson in a box of being a pioneering baseball athlete and maybe not realized his greater place in American history?
I think, yes, we do. And what the documentary really powerfully does is to allow us to see Jack, as Rachel Robinson calls him, and Rachel. And by allowing us to get to know them as a couple, as a group of African Americans who are pioneering for something greater, not just in baseball, but beyond, it really kind of pushes all of us Americans to think about what Jackie sought to do more than what he did on the field was to transform America and its race relations. And that is the story, I think, that Ken, Sarah, and Dave have done a masterful job in challenging a lot of the myth of the icon Jackie Robinson to the lived experience of pioneering that Rachel and her beloved Jack went through.
And when you say that team, you should explain to our audience, it's great to have you here with us. Dave McMahon, if I pronounce that correctly, he was actually one of your former students.
Dave McMahon was one of my students when I was a graduate student at the University of Michigan. He took class with me. And Dave has grown in his place within the Florentine Films team. And it's wonderful to see an undergraduate, just like some of my undergraduates here at the U of I, flourishing to doing amazing work beyond undergrad. And he brought me in to be part of the Florentine family of advisors. And when we were there last year to preview this film, as I was mentioning off air, they had us in tears in terms of just the power of this documentary. I really encourage everyone to spend some time with it.
Yeah, well, I was to say I was in tears a couple times this weekend watching it. And I think because I learned so much about Jackie Robinson, and I'm not a huge baseball fan and don't know that much about baseball history. So for me, I think even just, and I think this would be helpful, I wonder if you could talk about the time frame in which he started, because he was someone who participated in sit-ins, as they say, before people did sit-ins. He staged his own sit-in at a lunch counter at a Woolworth in California decades before this became a movement. And this was around the time he was at Pasadena Community College. And I wonder if you could place for everybody that time period. First of all, his ability to be at a community college as a black man. And this was around, this was the 30s, right?
Yes, and this is one of the powerful parts of understanding Jackie Robinson. Integrating baseball was not his first effort and participation in this grand effort to transform America into an integrated society. And so there's a little bit of discussion of when he was growing up in Pasadena and some of the struggles that we often don't think of Pasadena or California as a place where the color line shaped people's lives. And so by going to Pasadena, the documentary allows us to see how these struggles were not just a Southern phenomenon. It was a nationwide dynamic. And whether he was in Pasadena or Fort Hood resisting how the buses were being segregated, or playing professional baseball and the Negro Leagues and experience of segregation moving through the South, what it's reiterated in the film, is baseball was not Jackie's first best sport. Actually, not his second or third. It's like his fourth best.
And that's what I was going to ask you also, because there's a line in the film where one person describes Jackie Robinson as the greatest athlete in American history. Would you agree?
I would agree, because...
because he played, and remind for everybody, his brother was an Olympic track athlete.
And I'll give you a little anecdote. So in 1936 Olympics, the Jesse film captures...
Mm-hmm.
He came in second to Jesse in one of the races. That is Mac
That's
Robinson.
His brother.
That's
right.
His brother. Well, Jackie broke every single one of Mac's records at UCLA.
His track records.
His track records.
So he broke his brother's Olympic, his Olympiad brother's records. He broke running track.
Running
he
track.
He played football.
All-American in football. All Pac-8, as it was then called, in basketball. And then he played baseball. And actually, some people want to push that he probably was a better golfer than baseball player,
oh,
too.
Oh, he played golf as
so,
well.
You know, when you consider the totality of his skills as an athlete, he was amazing. But then we consider, and I think rightly so, the totality of his experience beyond the playing field. We really see this compelling story about how integration involves so much more than what happens between the white lines.
And I think when you think about that, the integration, and again, I think for people who maybe have a superficial knowledge of Jackie Robinson, you know, okay, well, he was the first black player. He played for the Brooklyn Dodgers. But as the film goes into the emotion, I can't even begin to imagine the emotional toil that it must have taken on him. There's at one point someone describes him as the loneliest man in sports. He cannot stay in the same hotels as the rest of the team when he's traveling. He endures years of abuse, both emotional, verbal, physical, while he's playing on the field. I mean, what else did... how would you describe what he had to endure, especially those first couple of years?
The first few years, and I think that description of him as the loneliest man in America, really... between the white lines and even in the clubhouse in those spaces, not having the assurity that all my teammates have my back and will support me whatever I'm doing and going through made him extremely lonely. Knowing that while Branch Rickey, the general manager and team vice president, had your back, that not everybody else did as well, really made things challenging and that you had to persevere. And that's why the relationship between Rachel and Jackie Robinson is really a centerpiece of this documentary, because without Rachel, Jackie doesn't get through this.
And I think that's actually probably my favorite part of this documentary, is learning about Rachel, who's still alive,
yes,
and their relationship. And it's such a beautiful love story. And do you think she gets enough credit for the role that she played in his life?
I think this documentary, by centering on Jack and Rachel, does place her, rightly so, as that person who pioneered baseball's integration with Jackie. That, again, if he's a single African-American man, he does not successfully persevere the way he did.
There's this great moment in the documentary that I want to play where the credit that's given to Rachel actually comes from Michelle Obama. So let's hear how she described their relationship.
There's nothing more important than family than a real partnership, which is probably what made him such a great man, because he had the judgment to find a partner I think that's true. I mean, I think that's a sign of his character, that he chose a woman that was his equal. I don't think he would have had Jackie Robinson without Rachel.
The great part about that, and this is the beauty of video that you cannot see on radio, is that First Lady Michelle Obama is saying that sitting next to her husband, President Barack Obama, and he has a look on his face when she says that, where he realizes, I have to agree with my wife. But I think it's an interesting thing. I wonder, as a historian, my guest in studio with me is Adrian Burgos Jr. He served as an advisor to the film Jackie Robinson, which is airing on PBS stations tonight. I wonder, as a historian, I know you're kind of a baseball historian, but I imagine, just as a general historian, how much you see parallels between Jackie and Rachel Robinson. And I think the inclusion of having President and First Lady Obama in this film sort of speaks volumes to where we are as a nation, but then also maybe a similar story being played out.
Well, I think the other part of this, we just saw a couple of weeks ago when President Obama became the first U.S. president to step foot on Cuban soil in nearly 90 years. Who does he have on Air Force One with him? Rachel and Sharon Robinson. President Obama's a big baseball fan.
Sure.
And for those of us who watch the game, you also notice that Michelle Obama is a big baseball fan. And there was a couple of times where she kind of chided President Obama from distracting her from what's
going
on.
When they were watching
the
game in Cuba.
Yes. And so this also speaks to the importance of sport as a means of cultural building and in the place of African Americans, but also between the U.S. and Cuba. And that President Obama was acutely aware of that and used that as a means of trying to extract a new relationship, a rebuilding of sorts with Cuba. This is exactly the kind of thinking that someone like Rachel and Jackie Robinson engaged
in. Well, it's a fascinating thing to think if you move forward of the legacy of Jackie Robinson using baseball to change American society. And what you're saying, President Obama now, I don't know how many years later, I guess 60 years later, using this as also a way to maybe change a political situation.
That's exactly what I'm trying to get across. And that one of the, I teach a sport and society class, and sport provides us a place to have a conversation that many times it's much more difficult to have. And President Obama realized that. And for those who criticize him for being at a baseball game, it's like, you actually don't understand Cuban history. And how much of an insult it would have been for the president to be in Cuba and not to go to a game.
Right, because the timing of that, the criticism was this was around the time of the attacks in Belgium. I wanted to ask you, as you were talking about particularly a Cuban baseball, Afro-Cuban baseball, but then just how much did Jackie Robinson pave the way for Afro-Caribbean athletes just to enter the American League?
Before Jackie Robinson, all of the Latino players who played in the major leagues were either white or not black, as presented by major league team owners to the public.
Did they try to get them to pass? Is that what
they
were just...
They manipulated racial categories. And this is the owners who were doing it, so they can get the talented labor out of baseball players out of the Caribbean into the league. What Jackie allowed was for all Latinos, regardless of shade and regardless of background, to be able to play. He opened the path for Mini Minoso to become the pioneering player that he was as the first ambiguously black Latino to play and to star in the major leagues. And that was why Jackie was so important, because before Jackie Robinson in the major leagues, the color line was built around the ambiguity of Latinos. Jackie was needed to shatter all ambiguities and to reconstruct the American game into one of a real meritocracy.
Well, and there was also, I wanted to ask you one baseball question, actually two baseball questions about how he also changed the game, which is, I wanted to ask you how much he contributed to the modern way the game is played with the play that he brought in from the Negro Leagues with stealing bases and leading off. How much of that changed what we know about modern baseball today?
The Negro League style of play that Jackie learned in the Negro Leagues was transformative of the aesthetic, of the style, and even fandom, in because it was so much more about direct challenge of what baseball had become a very plotting game as it was segregated, Major League Baseball, I should say. And Jackie helped to transform that. The other part of that story is Jackie also learned that when he played in the Caribbean, that he had played in Venezuela prior to playing with the Dodgers and then playing against Cubans during exhibition games. That the Negro League game was really rooted in an interaction between African Americans and Latinos in the Negro Leagues and in Latin America. And Jackie exemplified that and made it, well, maybe if not okay, made it part of the game.
Well, made it really fun, a lot more fun to watch in some ways too, right? There's a, as I said before, I'm not a huge baseball fan, so I don't know that much about baseball history, but I didn't know the story of Pee Wee Reese throwing his arm around Jackie Robinson in Cincinnati. There's like a statue of this. Did this really happen?
No.
So this is not a true story.
And this is one of the powerful elements of what having Rachel there to talk about what actually happened. Historian Jules Tigil actually documented that this Pee Wee Reese put his arm around Jackie in Boston in a game against the Boston Braves.
Okay.
But one of the dynamics that emerges for me as a historian is integration stories and how they're recreated to kind of suit a particular narrative and make particular heroes. Pee Wee Reese was courageous, but it wasn't because his family was in attendance in a game in Cincinnati. Somebody else came up with that. And then it gets immortalized in the movie 42. that never happened.
Okay, so everyone knows. If you see 42 versus the Ken Burns version, you could figure out which one is the actual historical fact. You know, we're just wrapping up. We just have a couple more minutes. But as you're saying all of this about baseball and society, I wonder how you think the Cuba opening, if that has a potential to not just change the sport in terms of how many baseball players are sort of in the MLB, but also just sort of a broader political opening. I'm curious what you think.
I think, you know, we're seeing the 21st century version of baseball diplomacy, and the respect that both nations can exhibit to one another via baseball, I think, will have an impact on the political interactions because we both speak the language of baseball. Baseball arrived to Cuba at the same time it arrived to California, the 1860s. And so Cubans are not recent arrivals to this game. And I think this is an opening. And as a historian of the Caribbean, I find it an exciting moment.
What do you want the world to know about Jackie Robinson?
Jackie Robinson was a courageous man who was pioneering a process of integration that would play over again and again. He was the inspiration for thousands, tens of thousands. Because Jackie did it, they felt the courage to try it themselves.
That's Adrian Burgos Jr. He teaches history at the University of Illinois, and he was advisor to the Ken Burns documentary. It's a two-part series that begins. It starts at 8 o'clock tonight on WILL. If you're in the Champaign-Urbana area, you can check your local listings elsewhere to find out exactly what station it's on. But Adrian, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me on. And que viva baseball.
Coming up, what's your favorite Ramona Quimby book? Beverly Cleary turns 100 tomorrow. We're going to be speaking with Illinois children's book authors about how she influenced them. You're listening to The 21st. Stay tuned.
Support for the 21st comes from the Library at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign, helping to generate new knowledge and developing and evaluating new technologies and methodologies that better distribute scholarly knowledge. This is your University Library.